ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 45, Krishna rescues his teacher's son. Text number 26. Atha Shuddha Suttaha Rajan Putrayaha Samakariyat Pudodasa Brahmanahai Cha Yatavat Dvijasang Skritim Atha Shudo Suturajan Putrayok Samakariyat Pudodasa Brahmanaischa Yatavad Dvijasang Skritim Atashuda Suturajan Putrayok Sankarayanayanat Samakariyat Putrayok Samakariyat Pudodasa Brahmanaischa Yatavad Dvijasang Skritim Atashuda Suturajan Putrayok Samakariyat Pudodasa Brahmanaischa Yatavad Dvijasang Skritim Pudodasa Brahmanaischa Itavat Dvijasang Skritim Atashura Suturajan Putrayok Samakariyat Pudodasa Brahmanaischa Yatavad Dvijasang Skritim Atha. Then, Shudasutaha, the son of Shurasena, Vasudev, Rajan, O king, Parikshit, Putrayoho, of his two sons, Samakariyat, had performed Pudodasa by a priest, Brahmanai by Brahmanas, Cha and yatavat properly dvija sanskritim brahminical initiation. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, then Vasudev, the son of Shurasena, arranged for a priest and other brahmanas to perform his two sons' second birth initiation. There's no purport, so we're going to go on until text 28, where there is a commentary. Text 27. Tebyo dhad dakshina gavo rukma malak swalankritaha swalankritebyak sampuja savatsa choma malinihi. Translation. Vasudev honored these brahmanas by worshipping them and giving them fine ornaments and well-ornamented cows with their calves. All these cows were gold-necklaced, wore gold necklaces and linen wreaths. Text 28. Yakrishtarama janmakshe manodata mahamatihi tash chadadad anushmitya kamsena dharmatohritaha. The magnanimous Vasudev then remembered the cows he had mentally given away on the occasion of Krishna's and Balaram's birth. Kamsa had stolen those cows, and Vasudev now recovered them and gave them away in charity also. Purport. At the time of Krishna's appearance, Vasudev had been imprisoned by Kamsa, who had stolen all his cows. Still, Vasudev had been so jubilant at the birth of the Lord that he had mentally donated 10,000 of his cows to the brahmanas. Now, upon Kamsa's death, Vasudev took back all his cows from the late king's herd and gave 10,000 of them, according to religious principles, to the worthy brahmanas. Hare Krishna. Oma jnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Mukam Karurivachalam Pangam Longayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shigurun Dinatadanam Namashreshtamanum Apisachi Putram Atrasurupam Rupam Tasyagrajim Udupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivadamaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Patita Kripiyo Shigurun Tannatosmi. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitangscha. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Banchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa sindu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Antai Madalabala, Hare Dasya Varyo, Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha, Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat, Paniya Suya Vasakandana Kandamulahai. Matsamo nasti papatma napadadi nakaschana parihare pilajjame kimbruve purushottama yuvatinam tatayuni yunam cha yavatayata mano bidabite tadvam mano me rabatam toyi bhumau skalita padanam bhumireva valambanam Tui jata paradanam Twameva sharanam prabhu Govinda balabe radhe Pratye tamaham sada Tudiyam iti janatu Govindo mam twayasaha Radhe vrindavanadishe Karunamita vahini Kripaya tava padabja Dasyam mayam pradiyatam Hare Krishna. So this a few verses ago we heard how Krishna sent Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan. And that pastime, in a way, in a sense, officially closes his Vrindavan lila. He's still interacting with the Brajvasis. And now, the pastimes of his outside of Vrindavan officially begin. Krishna's pastimes are an unlimited ocean. And there are so many nuances and relationships and fulfillment of desires of all the different devotees of Krishna's, and what to speak of the curses of brahmanas, you know, and various sages that have happened in the past to various persons that end up interacting with Krishna in his pastimes in ways that seem, you know, untoward or seem negative. But Krishna's pastimes are an ocean of nectar, an ocean of mercy. Every single thing that Krishna does with every single person in his pastimes is meant to elevate them, deliver them from the material entanglement, or reciprocate with them if they're eternal associates, and in his Prakat Lila. It's commonly thought that Krishna doesn't go back to Vrindavan. And therefore there's a lot to do and a lot of verses in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam that describe the condition of the Brajvasis after Krishna left, and even attempts by various devotees to try to convince Krishna to go back to Vrindavan and relieve the Vrajvasis of their suffering in separation from him. This is the Prakat Leela. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that in a way, the Prakat Leela of Krishna, where he comes into this world and walks among men and appears to be a human being, in ways is more attractive and even more beautiful than his pastimes in the spiritual world. And he uses the example, two very nice examples. One is that of a flame in a completely dark room. A candle flame in a place where that's well lit is not as beautiful as a candle flame on its own, by itself, in a completely dark room. The colors and the features of the flame are more attractive, more brought out. The beauty of the flame is brought out more because of the surrounding, the dark surrounding. And another example is given that when people who are expert at selling jewels, when they want to display their wares in front of prospective customers, they always put the jewel on a dark background, either dark velvet blue or dark velvet black, to make the jewel stand out. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that because Krishna's pastimes in this world, which are completely transcendental, and his abodes manifest completely in this world during Krishna's manifest pastimes, because they're set within the material energy, they have features that come out that make them more charming and more attractive, even than his eternal pastimes, which are continuously going on in the spiritual world. In the Briya Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami reveals when Gopa Kumar goes back to Goloka Vrindavan and is entering into the Goloka Vrindavan and finding out, you know, what his original position was and, you know, who everyone is and what everyone's doing and all that. He brings out different points, and one of them is that Krishna goes regularly to Mathura and kills Kamsa and then comes back immediately almost. And this pastime is going on continually. You know, Keshi will show up, you know, again and again and again. Only he in Goloka Vrindavan, he doesn't kill them. He tames them. He tames Keshi like a bucking bronco. He gets on him, and you know how you tame a bucking bronco? It's kind of like our minds, you know, bucking bronco, and you have to ride it out. You have to stick with it and ride it out until the mind becomes tame. So Krishna, he rides the Keshi demon until it's tamed, and then he keeps them there for pleasure pastimes of the cowherd boys and the different residents. Of if they want to ride around on a horse, they can ride around on Keshi. These things are going on. They're inconceivable. Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable. We can't actually understand them with our intelligence by analyzing them. And of course, here we're going to begin Krishna's Mathura pastimes. And our acharyas comment on this point that Vasudeva and Devaki were insecure, actually. They were insecure. Had Krishna really come back to be with them? Or was he just going to come and stay with them for just a little while and then go back to Vrindavan? Because they knew that he never steps a foot out of Vrindavan, and he knew how attached they were, that Krishna was, to the Brajbasis. So they were insecure. In order to pacify them, Krishna and Balaram and make them more feel more at home in Mathura so he wouldn't go back, they called for Rohini. Because Rohini is the personality who has actually lived and stayed both in Mathura and in Vrindavan. And therefore, they thought, oh, Krishna, he can associate with Rohini and it'll pacify his mind and he'll get some Vrindavan bhav so he won't run away and go back to Vrindavan. This, they were thinking like this. This is the way Krishna's devotees think in different ways in the Prakat Leela, in the human-like Leela. So Krishna and Balaram would go over to Rohini's house when they wanted to remember Vrindavan because they felt comfortable. And this pastime of Krishna receiving the Brahminical initiation is also connected with this idea, because Rohini suggested to Devaki, oh, we're going to have a festival for Krishna when he receives the Brahminical initiation. Wouldn't it be nice if we invited the Brajvasis, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, all the Brajvasis, to come to this festival? And Devaki said, well, she hesitated. She didn't just say, oh, yes, that's a wonderful idea, invite them. She didn't say anything. She was completely reserved. She didn't respond. And then Krishna and Balaram and Rohini could understand that this was a delicate issue. And so Krishna sent a note. You know, Mathura is not so far from Vrindavan. And there were notes being passed back and forth between Vrindavan and Mathura, even after Krishna left. So Krishna sent a note or a messenger or something. I don't remember the detail, but it was either a note or a messenger back to Braj. And he said, oh, my dear mother and father, to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they're going to arrange a festival and I'm going to take second initiation. So why don't you arrange for all of my friends to also take a second initiation on the same day that I am and hold a huge festival? And in this way, you know, Krishna, out of extreme love for the Brajvasis, arranged a situation that would distract them from thoughts and feelings. Well, why weren't we, you know, invited? So these things are going on even in Krishna Leela. These kinds of emotions and apparent favoritism and all these things that go on in the material world. But the difference is that in those situations where devotees have these different seemingly conflicting feelings based on spiritual rasa, not based on mundane emotion, what happens is all the devotees' love for Krishna becomes increased, Krishna's pleasure becomes increased, and the variety, the unlimited unfolding of variety of the spiritual world manifests itself, satisfying the soul. The soul in the material world condition, they say, variety is the spice of life. It is the spice of life because it is the situation in the spiritual world also. And this concept, the spiritual concept, cuts to pieces the impersonal conclusion that it is the variety of emotions and relationships in this material world that causes the suffering, and therefore, in order to remove suffering, we should remove all the varieties. This is Mayavad philosophy. But actually, Krishna's pastimes are unlimitedly variegated, and the Mayavadis, they think that there's fault in this. They think, because there's so many varieties and it's always unfolding, and they think there's never any goal. They want to have a goal. At one point, it's okay, it's ended. Now we've reached the goal, everything's finished. That's their philosophy, that's their mentality. But Sanatana Goswami, he comments that it is not a fault that there isn't a specific goal in which we reach and then there's nothing more to gain. There's nothing more to do. Rather, the spiritual world and the varieties in the spiritual world are displays of Krishna's unending variety. There's unending, unlimited variety in the spiritual world. And Krishna is satisfying each one of our needs and desires for variety in this way. So Krishna, he's not a liar. He's supremely truthful. He does tell lies sometimes, but not in relationship to the Vrajvasis. So here, Nanda Maharaj said, in verse 23, you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. So this is Krishna's promise. And mundane philosophers and mundane commentators on the Bhagavatam, they find fault in Krishna because he didn't go back to Vrindavan, apparently, to the common understanding. But actually, there's evidence in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that Krishna does go back to Vrindavan. Not only does he go back, he goes back regularly. That verse is just a second, bear with me. That verse is in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse number 9. There, the Sanskrit is yam buk sha parasada bhobhavam kurun madun vat surit didrikshaya tat trabda koti pratimak chanobhavet Ravin binakshnor, ivanas tavachuta. Translation by Prabhupada. O lotus-eyed Lord, this is the Dwarkavasis speaking to Krishna when Krishna returns to Dwarka after the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna says, the Dwarkavasis say, O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura Vrindavan or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like millions of years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of the sun. So all of our acharyas use this verse as a springboard to explain all the different times that Krishna comes back to Vrindavan and all the things that happen and all the emotions that are exchanged, etc., etc. And I was fortunate enough to edit a book written by His Holiness Shivaram Swami, in which he explains all these different pastimes and how they relate. It's called Krishna Sangati. You may have seen it. It's an interesting read, very interesting read. And in that book, there's an analysis of Krishna's inconceivable potencies and how these apparently contradictory things are resolved by persons who actually know. In the Gita, Krishna says, janma karma chime divyam evam vyo veti tatvataha. Those persons who know in truth the nature of my birth and activities in this world, they know no death. Janma karma chime divyam evam vyo veti tatvataha chaktu deham punarjanma. They no longer take birth, naitimam etisorjana, in this material world. They enjoy eternal happiness, eternal bliss. So Srila Prabhupada makes the point again and again in his purports and refers to the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and others, that if we want to understand Krishna's pastimes, then we have to understand them through the teachings of the Goswamis and their followers. One of the most intense and bewildering pastimes, which fits into this category of being so seemingly complex and revealing emotions and things that are very difficult to understand, was Krishna's passing away from the world and the events that led him, that were immediately preceded Krishna's passing away from the world. So I thought to give us a treat this morning and to read something about this passing away of Krishna, to give us strength and knowledge to increase our devotion. I'm reading from the epilogue of Krishna Sangati. And the title of it is Krishna's Earthly Pastimes Come to an End. Is this all right? Permission? Shrugging shoulders. Nobody's like into it. Nobody's like really into it. It's hard for me to tell if anybody's into it. Okay. Oh, come on. On the day marking the 100th year of Krishna's departure from Mathura, the Brajbasi's fortune suddenly changed. Srimati Radharani, brokenhearted as usual, sat by Jamuna's shore listening to her friend Chandrandana describe the glories of Dwarka. When Radhika heard about the holy site Siddhashrama, she inquired about the benefit of bathing there. Chandrandana replied, "O Radha, I will tell you of the glories of Siddhashrama. But you must have faith in my words. The section of this epilogue is based on a series of verses from the Garga Samhita. 6th chapter. Radha's curiosity was piqued, and she turned to face her Sakhi as Chandranana continued. The wise say that one who touches Siddhashrama or bathes in it, its waters, will never again be separated from Krishna. Chandranana then gave Radha an emphatic look and said, "This is the truth, and of this there is no doubt." You know, in Goloka Vrindavan, sometimes devotees have differences of opinion. Did you know that? Even in Goloka Vrindavan, sometimes they quarrel among one another over Krishna's favor in different ways. So one time Shidama, Radharani's brother, and Radharani were having this kind of brother-sister, you know, disagreement. And Shidama cursed Radharani that she would have to be separated from Krishna for 100 years. Chandanana's proclamation made Radhika's eyes glitter with happiness. She sat up straight as she thought, "That holy place, Siddhashrama, can ensure perpetual nearness to Krishna? How wonderful." Radhika was overcome by the desire to end her suffering. She mused, "When Krishna went to Kurukshetra, we gopis left Vrindavan just to be with him. Could we not make the longer trek to Dwarka, visit Siddhashram, and by the strength of that holy place regain the pleasure of his company?" Radha's sudden, newfound determination inspired her to withdraw from meditating on Krishna's apricot pastimes. She turned to her sakis and announced, "Gopis, we shall embark on a new adventure beyond the borders of Braj. We shall go to Dwarka, visit our relatives, and offer our respects to the king." Delighted, the astonished gopis glanced at one another. They were prepared to do anything to stop the torrent of Radha's tears and bring renewed hope to her now hopeless existence. On Radhika's order, the gopis began to make extensive preparations for their journey. They packed clothes, cooked food, and organized conveyances. Arrangements complete, on the day of the Surya Parva festival in the month of Madhava, Radha mounted an ornate palanquin and left Vraj for Siddhashrama, accompanied by thousands of gopis and protected by a host of cowherd men. Now this is, remember, this is the 100th anniversary of the time when Radharani and the Vrajvasis went to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna on the event of the solar eclipse. Why did it take a century for beautiful Radhika to decide on such an obvious course of action? The answer lies in a pastime that happened in Krishna's apricot dham, Goloka Vrindavan. One day, in the part of Goloka Vrindavan known as Goloka, where Radha and Krishna are husband and wife, not paramours, Radhika heard of Krishna's happiness with a co-wife, Viraja. In Krishna Loka, Krishna manifests his Vrindavan pastimes in different places. The difference between them is in the mood of Krishna's associates. For example, in one part of Goloka, the love his associates have for him completely covers their awareness of his divinity. Therefore, Krishna's relationship with the gopis is that of a paramour. In another part of Goloka, however, his devotees are aware of Krishna's divinity, which decreases the sweetness and intensity of the love his associates have for him, and Krishna's relationship with the gopis is his husband and wife, as opposed to that of unwedded love. This Goloka is described in Garga Samhita 2.26, Jiva Dharma, 1462, and Gopal Champu, Uttara Champu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jiva Dharma 39.13, when Samartharati carries a scent of Samanjasarati, then Swakiya Rasa is present in Braj. Therefore, when a slight sense of Swakiya Rasa is present, that means Swakiya Rasa means the wedded love between Radha and the gopis, or Radha and his queens or his wives. Then Swakiya Rasa is present in Braj. Therefore, when a slight scent of Swakiya Rasa is present, the devotee may be called a worshipper in Swakiya Rasa. The forms of Radha and the gopis in that part of Goloka are expansions of the original Radha and gopis in Braj. As improper as it may be for the followers of Sri Radha to glorify her rivals, because Viraja is an expansion of Radha, as are all of Krishna's gopis, queens, and goddesses of fortune, it is proper to say that Viraja was as beautiful as a reflection of Radha could be. From a friend, Radhika heard that Krishna was enjoying with Viraja like a honeybee plays in a lotus. This news filled Radha with jealous anger. In a full display of her opulence, she gathered her associates and rushed to the grove where Krishna and Viraja had been seen. But Sridhama, who was guarding the doorway to the kunj, stopped Radha from entering. Infuriated with Sridhama's obstinacy, Radhika berated him. But Sridhama held firm. Very quickly, a tumultuous quarrel arose, and the gopis threatened Sridhama with sticks. As soon as Krishna heard the commotion, he disappeared from the kunj. And Viraja transformed herself into a river that encircled Goloka. When Radhika finally entered the sacred grove, she found neither Krishna nor Viraja. Dejected but still angry, Radhika returned to her own grove to ponder the whereabouts of her husband. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Pramanakanda 2, Thakur Bhaktivinoda cites a similar pastime from Anantasamhita. There are, however, differences in the two. In Bhaktivinoda's version, there is no mention of Radhas and Virajas being married to Krishna. Furthermore, after Krishna and Viraja disappear, Radha wanders to the earth and creates the gardens of Navadvip by the Ganges. Whereupon Krishna appears there and describes their combined appearance in the future as Gauranga. The question arises how pastimes that begin in the same way can then diverge into different courses. This is part of the inconceivable nature of Krishna's pastimes that I was speaking about earlier. Aside from accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna's pastimes and energies, it may be considered that a pastime may appear differently in different places, different parts of Goloka, to remain in keeping with the rasas and the ecstasies or emotional states of those respective dhams. They may also be viewed differently by different devotees according to their relationships with Krishna. So this is a very interesting point, because sometimes we'll hear a pastime of Krishna in one scripture, and we'll hear the same pastime of Krishna in another scripture, and there will be different details. The reason for this is, the devotee that's describing them is in a different rasa with Krishna, and therefore he sees differently the same pastime because of his emotional connection with Krishna in relationship, in a different relationship. Hari, being all-pervasive, was well aware of Radha's dismay, but even he did not know what to expect as he cautiously approached Radhika's kunj, accompanied by a still irate Sridhama. In her heart, Radha was happy to see Krishna, but externally she displayed jealous anger and firmly rebuked him. Hari, why waste your time with me? Go to your beloved Viraja, who flows like a river throughout the land. You are free to enjoy with her without restraint. Go on, go, just leave me alone. Radhika's words disheartened Krishna. He had come to please her, only to be rejected. Crestfallen, with downcast eyes, he wandered towards Viraja's forest. But Sridhama, even angrier than before, was unwilling to leave. Furrowing his brow, he stepped forward and said, Radha, how can you censure Krishna, the original person, the greatest of all, who is faultless and beyond reproach? He is the master of all potencies, of which you are but one. He is beyond your control. Further exasperated by Sridhama's words, Radha glowed with loving anger. Directed by the will of Hari, she replied, Foolish Gopa, what do you know of Hari or of me? Since you have adopted the mentality of a fool, leave Goloka, the realm of the wise, and go to earth, the realm of fools. The Brahma Vaivarta Purana describes this same event in a somewhat different way. It describes how a partial expansion of Sridhama took birth as the demon Shankachuda, who married Tulsi Devi and who later was killed by Lord Shiva. Sridhama was shocked. Without thinking, prompted by the same power that had spoken through Radha, he shot back, O beautiful one, Krishna came to you like a menial servant, meek and humble. But out of jealousy, you rejected him. Since you take so lightly the gift of his company, when you escort him to earth, you will be forced to separate from him for 100 years. This is my blessing upon you. These things are going on, and this is the source of all the kinds of things that happen in this world in between relatives sometimes. Now, I wanted to go to the place where Krishna left this world to give you all kinds of knowledge, information, and also good reasons, good ideas, good thoughts and truths to be able to deal with people who question Krishna because of this pastime. Bear with me, please. This duty to conclude his mission was most painful, for it ushered in the era, the end of an era, the end of happiness, the end of the status quo of spiritual culture for his parts and parcels. That is, until Krishna would next appear. The end, especially when calamitous, is the final link in a long chain of events and is thus very difficult to understand. What to speak of Krishna's disappearance, which not only brought to a conclusion many related events, but also resolved many apparently contradicting realities. It was more than any earthly occurrence. It was inconceivable to ordinary men. While Krishna's uppercut pastimes continued, his prakat pastimes came to an abrupt end. To enact his own disappearance, Krishna arranged many pastimes, a few of which were the destruction of the Yadus, the departure of Baladev, the flooding of Dwarka, the disappearance of his queens, the suicide of the gopis, and the humiliation of Arjuna. However tragic these events may have appeared, and still do to those who study them, they were only appearances, dramatic performances that brought down the curtain of Krishna's manifest pastimes before his many devotees. Yet, in his eternally manifest abodes, concealed behind the curtain of the material energy, those same pastimes continued uninterrupted with the same devotees. Now, this is a very important point. Sometimes in our preaching, we come across the idea that, and in human society also for centuries more, this thought has plagued philosophers and religionists and theologians. Why do bad things happen to apparently good people? You see? To understand that apparent contradiction in the all-merciful, all-kind, all-loving God, Krishna, we must be able to see the event and put it into proper perspective according to Krishna's vision. Our vision is limited, extremely limited, to three dimensions. And therefore, to us, an event that causes apparent suffering to the souls are indescribably painful, and therefore reason to question the existence of God. But if we see things in proper perspective from the spiritual point of view, especially from Krishna's angle of vision, you'll see that the relative suffering becomes reconciled. We know that the time it takes for Krishna to breathe out, not Krishna, Mahavishnu, who's an expansion and an expansion and an expansion of Krishna. When Mahavishnu breathes out and breathes in, all of the cosmic manifestation comes into being, plays out all of the karmas of all the living beings that belong in the material world, and withdraws all those things. The material energy, the cosmic manifestation, all the universes, all the souls, and brings them back into the body of Mahavishnu. Their karmic destinies for the next creation intact. So the next time the universe is created, they all go to exactly where they're supposed to be and carry on their material existence, you know, in bodies that fulfill the desires that they had at the end of the previous creation. That whole period of time to us is approximately 311 trillion. I'll repeat that. 311 trillion, 80 billion years. Now, we live 100 years in relationship to that period of time, maximum in Kali Yuga. Of course, it was more in other ages, 100,000 in Satya, 10,000 in Treta, 1,000 in Dwarpa, and now maximum 100 in Kali Yuga. But even those larger periods of time in which the same degree of apparent suffering doesn't happen due to the predominance of goodness, still, in relationship to 411 trillion, 80 billion years, what is the percentage? What is the percentage of 100 years to 411 trillion, 80 billion years? Do we have any mathematicians in the crowd? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. That's exactly the right answer. It doesn't exist. The percentage is so small, the number doesn't exist. Therefore, think about it. According to Krishna's perspective, the whole cosmic manifestation is happening less than one of his breaths. I don't know, a blink of an eye? Something less period of time than one out-breath and one in-breath. Therefore, from his perspective, a whole lifetime or many lifetimes of suffering that we, karmic suffering that we go through, is so insignificant. How can he be accused of causing so much suffering to the conditioned soul? Prabhupada sometimes explained our going back to Godhead to be like waking up from a dream. You know, we dream at night and whole pastimes going on. You know, we're on an adventure, we're traveling, and at a very crucial moment in our lives, in that dream, we lose our identity, our papers, our money, everything, and we get stranded in some awkward situation, sweats pouring down our bodies, we don't know what we're going to do, and then we wake up. And we go, oh, what a relief. I didn't lose everything. I'm still here. Everything's okay. Wow. You know? That's what it's like, Prabhupada explained, going back to Godhead. However tragic the events of Krishna's leading up to Krishna's passing away and Krishna's leaving this world, however tragic they may appear, they were appearances only, dramatic performances that brought down the current, the curtain of Krishna's manifest pastimes before his many devotees. Yet, in his eternally manifest abodes, concealed behind the curtain of material energy, those same pastimes continued uninterrupted with the same devotees. So it's getting late. I wanted to read the whole thing, but it'll take much, much longer than I thought, much too much time. I'll just give you a very, very brief essence of it. And that is that the devotees who apparently killed each other in that horrible, ghastly scene, they had no recollection that it even happened when they went back to Godhead. Not went back to Godhead, yes, went back to Godhead in one sense, but in another sense, entered into the uppercut lila of Krishna. Because as that Prakat Lila was coming to an end, all the personalities who went through these seemingly horrendous things, they woke up in the Aprakat Lila, in Dwarka, with their same activities, their same relationship with Krishna, everything, nothing changed. For them, nothing changed. It only changed for those in the material world whose eyes were covered with the material energy. An illusion. It was just a drama performed by Krishna. And the details strengthen that basic essential point. So the more we learn about the details of Krishna's pastimes, janma karma, chame divyam, evam vyo, veti tatvata. Tatvaha doesn't mean just that we can accept Krishna as God. That's an important part of it. But there's many details that will be filled in as we study the Bhagavatam, as we study the commentaries of the Acharyas, as we hear, even if we don't become scholars like Jiva Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, if we just hear and understand these basic principles and have the details explained to us by them, reinforce our faith and our love and our affection for Krishna, despite these things that he sometimes does that appears to be outrageous from a mundane or a moral or a material point of view. It's important. These things are important to understand because our faith, you know, in Krishna while we're in the material world sometimes seems to hang on a thread as we, you know, ply our way through this material world and try to remember Krishna and keep our faith and our affection for him intact. Yeah. We have to hear and chant. And not only hear and chant, we have to hear and chant properly, which means with faith and with attention, seriously and sufficiently. It means every day. We can't let time go by in between us hearing about Krishna. Otherwise, we will get swept away by the material energy and forget these obvious conclusions. Huh? Krishna did so many things that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was beyond the material modes. And yet he did this unbelievably dramatic trick. And when he left, when he actually left, in his original spiritual form, he left behind a shell, just as he creates the material world by the transformation of his energies. In order to give the atheists evidence that can please them by coming to the wrong conclusion. And this is a feature of that verse, famous verse, sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto mattak smritir gyanam apavanam cha. If you want to forget Krishna bad enough, Krishna will arrange a situation that will enable you to forget him forever. So let us be serious devotees. Let us hear and chant Krishna's pastimes, and hear the explanations from those who know them and can explain them in a way to remove our doubts and reawaken our love for Krishna and wake us up from this dream that we're living in. So Krishna is now now in Mathura. He sent the Vrajvasis back, and that's a whole other story. That's a whole other pastime of what happened when they actually refused to go back, and how Krishna dealt with it. That's a whole other pastime. We don't have time to get in now, but now he's going to continue with his drama. He's going to take Brahminical initiation and appear to be a student of someone else. I met someone recently in Taiwan who was a pseudo-scholar, and he was just trying to understand by comparing the different translations of different Puranas and different things that he had come in contact with in order to gather up enough faith in something, in someone, to accept a path and surrender. And by Krishna's supreme will, he found so many different things that caused his mind to be unable to surrender to anyone. And he's still doing it. He's still, you know, running on the treadmill of his material intelligence, trying to figure out, you know, who's right and who's wrong. And he'll be there forever. If hopefully not, we won't curse him. Hare Krishna. He'll eventually come to the point. I'm keeping the dialogue, by the way. And I turned him on to guess who? Ridhananda Goswami. Who, if he tries to argue with him, he'll have his hands full. And then some. So Krishna is unlimited. His pastimes are unlimited. He's unlimitedly kind. He's unlimitedly clever. He's unlimitedly truthful. He's unlimitedly devious. He's unlimited everything. Therefore, he's very difficult to understand. But for us who do understand anything, even a little tiny bit, he is our worshipful Lord forever under any circumstance. No matter what happens to us, no matter what happens in this material world, we will love him forever. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna Mashallah Yilila ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Okay, we have 3 minutes. I never would have guessed. Narottam has a question. He's the most intelligent. Has the most intelligent question. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Berkeley.
Yeah.
Not Southern California. Oh. You say that in front of the Berkeleyites or in front of the Southern Californiaites, and you'll get in trouble. I know I went to UCLA, and that's opposite to
UC
SC.
UC Berkeley?
Yeah, UC Berkeley. That recording is actually it's a professor that he's debating with, and you know it's not Stahl, it's another one. I can't remember the name of the professor, but he became so upset with Ridhananda because Ridhananda just twisted him around, you know, and in the end he lost his intellectual academic neutrality, which they're supposed to do, you know. They're supposed to be unbiased. And he started calling Ridhananda names at the end of that discussion. And, you know, Ridhananda, he was just laughing his head off, you know. He's got such a sense of humor. He was just laughing his head off. And the guy just, like you said, he just fumed and stormed off. Gopal, this is it. We're 8:59. I've got to go.
Okay, there's a... One thing is, put it in perspective. I mean, when you talk about the blink of an eye, why would someone think that Krishna would be really acutely concerned with their individual situation when he knows that just within a blink of an eye, everything's changing anyways?
Because he also knows that to us, that blink of an eye is 411 trillion years. Krishna is so inconceivable that he can be sarvajna, which means all-knowing. In other words, he knows everything about his creation, past, present, and future. The proof of that is the Brahma Samhita, which states that Krishna in full, with all of his potency in full, is located in every atom of the universe. And you can go, if you could, if you were an advanced enough mystic yogi, this happened actually to Markandeya Rishi. He got drawn into Krishna's form and he came out in another universe. This is called infinite dimensional. We can see in three dimensions only. Krishna can see in infinite dimensions at the same time. Therefore, not only does he perceive that the sufferings that go on in the whole duration of the material existence are only to him nothing, insignificant time, he also perceives the souls that are thinking and feeling and perceiving that it's like 100 years or it's whatever. And therefore he has unlimited compassion. And he's also mugda. He can be mugda, bewildered, or forgetful, and at the same time, sarvagya, simultaneously. Therefore, simultaneously, he has no worries, and he's always smiling, even in the beginning of the, what is that verse? Tamuvacha Rishikisa Prahasan Ivabharta. Prahasan means smiling. It's beginning of the Kali Yuga, the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjun's declared openly that he's not going to fight. He's crying. He's apparently suffering from thinking about the demise of his relatives and his teacher and his, all these personalities. And Krishna is doing what? Just before he instructs him and calls him a fool? Prasan Ivabhard. He was smiling. The idea is that just like a mother, when disciplining a small child, may have to tie him up or take something away from him that he's going to damage himself with or others. And at the time he does that, the child goes berserk, nuclear, ballistic, and cries and screams. Sometimes you see Baladev's kid, he can do that. He's a very, very intelligent kid. And he'll get his way by any hook or crook, So the child looks like he's just end of the universe. But the mother inside is smiling because she knows that in just a few minutes, he's going to be running around and doing the same nonsense that, she's correcting him for. So the two perspectives. There's a child's perspective of what's happening and there's the mother's perspective of what's happening. So similarly, there's Krishna's perspective of what's happening and there's our perspective of what's happening. And part of what it means, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veditattvataha, is to actually be able to understand and perceive from Krishna's perspective. And then all of our anxiety goes away. Or it changes in quality. And there's no more suffering. That's it, I gotta go. One more, this is it.
Like you said, why should he be remotely concerned when it's just a blink of an eye? But when Gopakumar went back to the spiritual world and met him, and Krishna was, it's like he couldn't wait to embrace him, and Krishna was crying. Krishna was completely in that moment also.
Yeah, he fainted, actually.
Yeah. So...
That's a classic example. And there's another section in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when Gopakumar enters Vaikuntha for the first time and sees Vishnu. There's a dialogue between Vishnu, in which Vishnu expresses how he feels and how he felt. I've been watching you. You've been going from lifetime to lifetime and lifetime. I'm so attached to you. What are you doing to me? Why are you causing me this much suffering? What's wrong with you? Anyway, now you're here. Forget all that and just stay with me forever. Same point. Okay? Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.